oral history project being done by Diane Price. I'm interviewing Mrs. Opal Porco at her home on Highway 431 in Anniston, Alabama, on October 8, 1995. The subject of this interview is United States women on the home front during World War II. Okay, Ms. Porco, could you tell us a little bit about your background, where you were born, your parents, some things about, you know, your early life?
Let's see, I was born in Mumford, Alabama. My parents were Maude and Vester Moore, and we lived there.
When were you born?
I was born May the 22nd, 1928. And I was the oldest of seven children. And we lived there till I was approximately 5 years old. And then we moved to Anniston, Alabama, where my father and mother obtained work in Adelaide Mills. And that is where I spent approximately the most part in the mill village of Adelaide of my younger life. I attended school at Sixth Ward and graduated from the sixth grade there and entered the seventh at Anniston Junior High, and had to leave school because it was hard at that time, you know, for my mother and father to support us. They had so many, and there was not much, you know, much work. There was not much money at that time. And
was this due to depression years? And
it was due to depression years, and they're just really, the best of my recollection, there was just not really that much money then, or nobody. And being next to the oldest, there was four others that came along, like 16 months difference between them.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had to stop. Me and my older sister both quit school, left school to help take care of the others, because my father worked one shift and my mother worked the other, and there had to be somebody there with them. And we had to cook and we had to clean house, and we had to take care of the smaller children.
Did they both work in the mill there?
They both worked in the Adelaide Mills there. And I think at about then, it was about 38 or 39, I think, that then you didn't hardly have, you did good if you had a radio to listen to. So there wasn't much news, you know, that you got around. You just, you did your jobs, and you did your washing yarn, you did your jobs when you was little, and you got little time to play, well, you played.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the war news came along,
you mean like when Pearl Harbor was
when
bombed?
When Pearl Harbor was bombed, the Japanese invaded and bombed Pearl Harbor. I remember them saying that the atrocities that they committed, because at that time, their emissaries was in Washington discussing peace terms.
Mm-hmm.
When the sneak attack was made on Pearl Harbor, which I was later never dreaming to marry a man that was at Pearl Harbor when it was bombed, one of the survivors of Pearl Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
But at that time, we were living at, we had moved from the mill village, and we were living on 78, what is in the old time of days called Hardy Hills. And I remember that my older sister was living at Bynum, and I used to ride a bicycle from her house, from my house on Hardy Hill, to the Army Depot, which when war broke out, I was at the age of maybe it was 1941. I should have been about 14 years old, but I was always big for my age. And so for the lack of money and to help out and to see and to get some of the better things that I never had, I applied for a job at Bynum, and which I got a job at Bynum. I was employed at Bynum.
Do you remember what kind of process you had to go through when you applied for that job?
To the best of my recollection, you just went and You went, it's still the old gate out there, the main gate, and you went through and you just filled out your application, and then they take you in and they interviewed you, and they give you your physical, and more or less they hired you.
Mm-hmm. So and you just about knew you got a job if
right,
you put in an application.
Right, right. If you knew anything at all, then, you know, you were hired. And I remember thinking, well, gosh, you know, I don't remember the salary, but I was thinking, it was a lot of money to me. Whatever the salary was, it was a lot of money to me because it was something I never had.
Well, what about the fact that you were so young?
But it didn't seem to matter then. You know, it was just like, I was big for my age. You thought, you said I'm 18, and nobody asked for a birth certificate or anything, and so back then, they probably went for a birth certificate anyway. They just looked at you. You looked big, and you were mature, looking for your age, and, uh-huh, and so you were hired. And I never will forget. I was kind of scared because back then, when you went to work, it was kind of dark in the mornings.
Uh-huh.
And I never will forget. We were told that they had a huge building then where you went. And the men and women clocked in. And most of the men there were older men. I would say older men then. To me, they were old because I'm talking about like in their 40s or 45s, you know, older men that was too old for the Army. They wasn't drafted. And so some of them, I remember we clocked in every morning, and then we had this huge, like the trucks now, the Army trucks, it has the canvas over them, and they got benches in them that you know, you have soldiers sitting in them now.
Well, let me ask you this. How would you get to work? You was talking about riding the bicycle before.
I live with my sister.
Okay.
I live with my sister at Vina.
Uh-huh.
And they just had a small house. They had two rooms that they just bought and built. And so I stayed with her. And from there, you know, you walked then. You didn't have any way to ride, so you walked. And that was the closest way. And so I left. And didn't live with my mother, and then went to live with her and my brother-in-law. And it was, to back then it was nothing. You know, you walked to where you wanted to go, or if you had lucky enough to have a bicycle, you rode a bicycle to where
it's
you
wanted
to go.
Just the way of life,
wasn't it? That's right. And so when we clocked in, we got on these big trucks that I'm talking about. I was checker over a crew of men, and there was another girl that was from Jacksonville. I can't think of her name now. I believe it was Margaret, but we were to find out later that we were related in some way. And she would check it at one place at the warehouse, and I would check at the igloo.
Now, when you say checker, what did you mean? What exactly did you do?
They would ship 1,500-pound bums in. And they had to, you carried them. Then they were stored in an igloo. I don't know where they stored today, but back then they were stored in an igloo.
Uh-huh.
And the men that was in the crew would come in and build the rack, and then the tow motor would pick them up and lift and lay them up there. That was how they were stored then.
Mm-hmm.
And they were stored about. The igloos were concrete, and like over the top, it was like grass had grown. So all you were going to see was just this door that opened up and went in. From overhead, you would think it was just dirt, you know, grass that growed over it.
Uh-huh.
But I checked them in there, and they were stored and stacked like that. And then we would work the morning, and then we were released to go to the tool shed where we checked out our tools and to use the bathroom. And it was more sort of like a meeting place. You know, everybody would be there at one time or another, and you would see one, and they'd have to check out different tools and this and that. And it was hard work, but it was, you know, you for the pay you got paid then, it was good.
Mm-hmm. What about the facilities? Do they have different facilities for the women?
We had the bathrooms were, you know, different, and they had like, you know, one long row, and we had like one long row you went in. And that was about, you know, the connection and of course, you know, the things that the people you got to knew in the offices back in, they were real nice. You never were in the office very much, you know, unless you went to sign a card or something like that. And I really enjoyed the work.
You did?
And I think I worked there about, as I told you before, they were listening today to people saying sexual harassment, you know, and there's such a thing made over it. This has always gone on. This was then. But only then, you said, we called it, he got fresh with me.
Uh-huh. That went on?
Yes. You say, you know, he got fresh with me, and you say, well, what do you mean, how'd he get fresh with you? And you say, well, you know, you get a little pat here, and you get a little pinch there.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and you either took it, or, I mean, there was no use objecting. Who's going to believe you back then anyway? Nobody. You know, they'd say, well, you know, she probably asked for it, or this and that, which is not true.
Uh-huh.
And this was quite a bit. Some of them were even told, you know, it's this or no job. You know, there's going to be a layoff.
You just handled it the best way you
That's right. You just handled it the best way you could. So you either said, hey, this is not it, or, you know. And so once you did, you know, and people knew that you were, you weren't playing their games, well, you were pretty much left alone. And I made a lot of good friends out there. And of course, most of them, the biggest part of them was older men, you know. And you just had a good rapport with them, and, you know, and you talked to them, and you kidding. You got to know their families, and you got to know their children. And it's just like I matured and grew up and in spirit, but here I am, a 14-year-old girl with like an 18 or 19 year old body.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard to adjust. That was what you had to do. You just had to adjust to it.
Well, now, what about the fact that women were going into the workplace there? Was this something new that just happened after the war started?
Right, because back then you only had a place, you only had a chance in a restaurant, maybe 50 cents an hour. Or you either had a drugstore, which I had worked in several drugstores, Lane's drugstore, Weichel's drugstore,
mm-hmm.
Several drugstores, but nothing where you would really, or a cotton mill, that was it. And nothing really that you were ever going to learn anything or as far as advance yourself,
because
I believe everything that you learn later on in years helps you. Anything that you learn is to your benefit.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember exactly how long I worked at Bynum, probably about 2 years or a little over. And then I had a run in with one of the bosses, and I figured it was my time to leave. And from there, I went to work at Fort McClellan.
Uh-huh. What did you do there?
And I worked in the commissary.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't work in the main PX. I worked in the PX, a branch PX. And then I had, we were living on Maplewood Avenue. We were living up there. My father had got up enough money, and he had bought a house. They was having cheap houses built in. And back then, I think he paid like $4,500, which is not much now.
That's
right, not much now. But back then, it was a mountain. You were saying, how am I ever going to pay for this, you know? But and then I rode the bus. I walked from East 10th Street at the foot of the mountain up there, Henry Road, to Anniston, and caught the bus and went to Fort McClellan, rode to Fort McClellan. And that is where I was on the day. I don't remember where it was. I don't remember the year, whether it was 44 or 45, that Franklin Delano Roosevelt died. And to me, that was the saddest day I can ever remember. And it was just like, I remember that because I was sitting on a bench outside the PX, which a Japanese soldier that I had got to know,
mm-hmm.
that was stationed. Now, he was born and raised in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, they had sent them here because they would not let them fight in the South Pacific.
Right.
And he was sitting there. He came up, and I got to know him, to talk to him. And we were sitting there when the news came, mm-hmm. that Roosevelt had died. And I think that Fort McClellan was like a death place that night. Mm-hmm. Because people were wondering, what are we going to do? How will we make it? It was devastating. That's it. It was just devastating.
Kind of like leadership was gone, huh?
The only kind that I ever knew back in those days. And he was just, I mean, he was somebody that he was a president that you looked up to. And this was a man that had been through a lot, had saw this country through a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He was the one that set up Social Security and did things for the lower income class. Right, the work programs. He was the one that put all this into effect. And it was like, it was not like a president. I would say it was more like a personal person that you got to know.
Like a friend.